MMA Municast is brought to you by Municipal Market Advisors, an independent research and strategy firm involved in the municipal bond industry. MMA publishes several incisive reports related to the new issue and secondary markets, plus the Municipal Consensus, a benchmark for daily municipal yield change. You can find out more at www.mma-research.com.
Welcome to this week's episode of MMA Municast. I'm your host, Jim Towne. I'd like to welcome Matt Fabian to today's podcast. Matt is the Managing Director and Senior Analyst for Municipal Market Advisors.
This is Cynthia Hennage standing in for Jim Towne. Welcome, Matt. Why don't you give us a brief overview of what's happening in the municipal market this week?
Hi, Cynthia. Thanks a lot for having me on again. The story in the muni market remains scarcity. Scarcity with perhaps a little bit of fear. So in this last week, the market continues to grind down to record low yields. We are at the 10-year of MMA's AAA yield curve. We're now at 2.88%, the lowest that it's ever been, whereas normally investors don't like to buy muni bonds at yields that are this low, they continue to do so. So you have an industry of very unhappy investors spending their money on bonds that they feel are too expensive, but they simply have to keep investing. Basically, what's going on is, first off, you have scarcity. There just simply aren't a lot of bonds out in the market. There aren't a lot of bonds being sold. Issuers seem to have pulled back a little bit, probably for fear of their own budget deficit situations. There has been very little advance refunding activity and other kinds of things. Also, in the secondary market, there have been very few bonds put out for the bid. I think we're at about 85% of the five-year average bids wanted out in the secondary market since the beginning of June, and that's versus 110% of the five-year average for the year leading into June. So there's been a real drop-off of secondary market supply. This comes in the context of continuing flight to safety in treasuries. We've had some fairly poor corporate earnings to date. There have been slowing economic growth indicators, which are giving people less fear of inflation, more concern about deflation. And there's just been a tremendous appetite for long maturity exposure in a fixed income. And that's not just in munis, but for treasuries and corporate bonds. Accounts globally seem to be just starved for duration. You know, at the same time, you have the seasonal reinvestment surge. It generally happens in July in munis, and that's where issuers in munis, remember, structure their bonds to pay off serially. So they pay principal every year, and they pay coupon payments twice a year. The majority of those payments, there's a seasonality to it, and a lot of money is returned to investors in June and July, and they have to put that money back into the market, or in effect, they are taking it out. So in munis, if you're not buying, then you're selling. So there's a structural need for them. They are, in effect, forced to buy bonds, or they risk becoming less invested in the sector. And that forced buying is coming right when there are not a lot of bonds available, pushing yields down lower. Very low yields reduce people's incentive to trade for a number of reasons. So we have thinner liquidity in the market. Things are getting fairly tight. But at the same time, yields are fairly low. And unless the economic situation or the credit situation begins to resolve itself in the near term, we're probably going to be here for a while.
Were there any notable bond sales?
There was the $900 million Illinois Build America bond sale last week, which was probably the deal of the month, although Illinois' $1.3 billion emergency note bond issue that's coming this week maybe could also be the deal of the month. So Illinois definitely takes title, but for which issue is unclear. The BAB deal that happened last week, the long maturity was initially spread at plus 340 basis points to the 30-year Treasury. There was a lot of talk, even on Monday and Tuesday, that that spread wasn't nearly wide enough. But in fact, it wound up going out and even tightening to plus 325 basis points. And then bonds subsequently traded up to 315. It was a very wide spread compared to the last time Illinois sold bonds. Illinois sold at 300 back in June. But still, it wasn't as bad as it could have been. And there was a sense that, you know, again, this enormous appetite for long maturity fixed income was really coming to bear. And people realize that in the longer term, Illinois' budget situation is absolutely dire, absolutely difficult. It's based on a lot of assumptions that are not exactly conservative. But how Illinois actually structurally pays its general obligation debt really does protect investors and insulates them from a lot of the month-to-month cash flow irregularities and budget issues. I think there was some acknowledgement of that, in addition to people just wanting high yields, which is what the Illinois thing was giving them. So it was a good week last week for the Build America Bond Program. This week, Illinois' deficit notes seeming to be a little bit more difficult to sell, at least initially, but you know, I guess we'll have to see how that plays out.
What activity have you been seeing in the bond mutual funds? Anything newsworthy there?
taxable mutual bond funds have had, I believe it's $140 billion of inflows so far this year versus about $30 billion of outflows in domestic equities. So there's been a real movement of investor cash out of stocks. Individuals are not buying stocks, they are buying bonds. Munis have benefited to an extent. In the first quarter, bond inflows were very strong. In the second quarter, and for the first part of the summer, they were weaker, but now they're accelerating again. So this is inflows into the tax-exempt mutual funds. Part of this is this reinvestment pressure, people looking to buy, simply needing to stay invested. And part of it is probably an admission by the retail investor, by the individual, that inflation is less of a concern. The individual investor has been perhaps the most reluctant to lose their fear of inflation, even as institutional accounts have been talking about deflation in very common and open terms for months now. Individuals have still been worried about going too long or taking too much interest rate risk. I think that we're finally seeing that abate and that you're going to have a more aggressive position as far as fixed income from individuals as there is more and more concern over the recovery. And will the recovery stall or even possibly reverse? That's been the trend, and that encouraged the fire that happened in the muni bond market last week and also this week. And it's certainly helping to tighten credit spreads, in particular up at the front of the yield curve at the five-year point where credit spreads have been coming in very aggressively over the last 2 weeks.
Do you have any recommendations for investors?
This is, once again, not a market of tremendous opportunity because when you're at record low yields, it's really hard to know exactly how much farther yields can go down. And it's not necessarily a safe bet. It's more of a speculative trade. I think that there is more room generally for yields to fall, but it gets more difficult to assume that. But for someone who has to put money into the market, the front end of the yield curve is probably still the best place for asset preservation because demand from individuals is still so strong, and we're probably many months away from the Fed beginning to raise their target rate simply because economic growth is so weak. So up there, I think you are very well placed. You're not getting very much yield. You're not getting very much income, but your principal position will be safer. Farther out on the yield curve, things do begin to look more value-priced generally. In particular, from the 16 to 22 year, there is for sure a more concessionary approach by dealers. Dealers looking to cut prices to move product. You know, the focus, as always, or at least as recently has been the case, it should be in the primary market, looking to buy bonds in the primary as underwriters look to price things to sell quickly. So getting a bond as close to the primary as possible is important, as opposed to the secondary, where sellers are less willing and have less need to concede on price. You should be focused in the primary, looking in that 16 to 22-year area for sort of the best total return value, but it gets very hard when you're in these sort of conditions. When you're talking about mean evolution as opposed to mean reversion, it's very hard to predict when that evolution stops. I think the overall statement is to be careful and to be looking for income as opposed to total return.
In your weekly analysis of defaults and impaired credits, you focused on the safe sector issuers this week. What trends did you notice related to safe sector bonds?
We have this database, just for the people who don't know, we have this database that we've compiled over the last year of every municipal issuer that has disclosed some kind of problem. Either they have missed a payment to bondholders, they're using their reserves, or there's something else seriously wrong going on, some kind of impairment, like maybe they're using a bond insurance policy to pay debt service, or maybe the developer in the district has declared bankruptcy, or they're having some kind of underlying credit issue, or maybe they've missed a rate covenant or something. So we have this overall database. Right now, it includes about 575 issuers have disclosed some kind of issue over the last year, including 229 that have actually defaulted in a payment on bondholders. And that equates to about $7 billion of munis that are affected. Of that $7 billion, only $32 million is safe sector bonds. So general obligation, water, sewer, sales tax type issuers. So only two issuers of the 229 are safe sector. But there is still about $5.5 billion of safe sector bonds involved overall. So what I did here was just sort of look through what's actually happening with these GO issuers and the sales tax and the water, sewer, and find out what's going wrong. And more importantly, are there systemic implications? Because there's so much talk about a looming muni collapse, how states and local governments are going to be defaulting at any moment and in large waves. So when that begins to happen, this database, these points, will begin to pick that up almost immediately. So what I think we're seeing is, so far, there doesn't seem to be much systemic implication at all. essentially all of the situations are where governments have some kind of unique problem respective to them. The principal default among GOs is a city in Wisconsin, which has some outstanding steam revenue bonds. It's Menasha, Wisconsin. And in this case, there's a line where the city has pledged to appropriate out of tax revenues in case there's not enough money. And the steam plant has gone out of business, and the city is for some reason not appropriating, but they're looking for a means to work that situation out. So sort of the point here is that a lot of the water sewer credits have missed a rate covenant or missed some kind of financial covenant, and it seems like that's a typical thing that happens to these water districts. I don't know that it's necessarily recession-oriented. And then you have some sales tax issuers, which are also missing rate covenants on the weak economy. Overall, it's only about 30 issuers. There isn't a lot of reason to think that these imply a broadening of issues. If there is a looming wave of municipal defaults coming, it hasn't started yet. So if you're a believer in that rhetoric that there's a large number of defaults coming, know that it's still a future wave because at this point, it's just not in the data. There are no issuers who are defaulting in the way that you think that they would be. Overall, it's pretty positive information for the muni market, but it's something that, of course, needs to continue to be watched.
Well, thanks, Matt. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Cynthia.
Information in MMA publications is relied upon by dealers, investors, and issuers engaged in the tax-exempt market. You can find out more information online at www.mma-research.com.